A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. Hello there, and welcome back to another riveting episode of This Song Is Yours. I'm Simon Fink, your host, and I'm thrilled to have you join us for episode 311. Today, we're diving into the world of Australian folk with a special spotlight on the immensely talented duo Winterbourne. These two musical maestros are dropping their highly anticipated second studio album, Act of Disappearing, today. This record has been a labour of love brewing over the span of a few remarkable years. Act of Disappearing is a testament to Winterbourne's dedication and craftsmanship, from bouncing ideas among trusted friends, producers and laptops since 2018, to self-producing the album and recording it over 2 years at various studios, including their home studio and the Grove Studios. In today's episode, we're honoured to sit down with James Draper and Jordan Brady to unravel the songwriting journey behind this magnificent record. We'll explore their artful blend of organic and electronic instruments, delve into the genesis of Winterbourne, and gain insight into the band's remarkable journey. This conversation promises a treasure trove of wisdom and creative processes that have shaped the very essence of Winterbourne's music. Now, before we embark on this insightful conversation, please make sure you subscribe to This Song Is Yours on your preferred podcast platform. Stay in the loop with our latest episodes by following us on social media. All the details are available in the show notes for today's episode. We also want to say a massive thank you to Marie from Island Music Australia for her help with today's episode. Here is our conversation with Winterbourne. Please welcome to This Song Is Yours, James and Jordan from Winterbourne. Gentlemen, hello. How are you going?
Hello. Very well, thank you.
James and Jordan, thank you so much for your time today. It is very much appreciated, as I know there's plenty going on for you at the moment. There's a brand new record coming out, The Act of Disappearing. Firstly, congratulations on this brand new record.
Thank you.
Thanks.
How is it feeling? How does each release day kind of differ? I think this is the second record from the band.
Yeah, it's feeling...
Is there any rituals or any kind of...
You're right. No, we haven't really had time for any rituals. Last time we released an album, we did a 10-day countdown. They got progressively more intricate. That's just an Instagram video thing. I don't know if we're going to do it. I mean, we're going to have to do that at some point this year, but I haven't really been thinking about that. I haven't really realized properly how close it is. It's at the time of recording, it's a month away. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes, we can share that.
Just do both options.
Yeah.
It's in a few days.
But yeah, well, I mean, we're going to have to get the lads around and have a couple of whiskies and have a listen. That's what we did last time as well. No, we did that.
That's just what we tell people we do.
Remember that cozy, we were all in leather armchairs with
that's
cigars.
That's your dreams. I keep telling you that was in your dreams.
One of these days we'll do that.
I do love that. Well, look, regardless of whether there's whiskey involved or not, I'm sure it's going to be a very exciting day when the record does come out. I know that we just said it is the second record. For either of you, do nerves still ever kind of play a part in releasing new music and putting a full body of work out into the world?
Yeah, definitely. It's just the case of something you've worked on for a hilarious amount of time, and then it gets to the point where it's taken so long and you've kept it to yourself for so long that you forget almost that the whole purpose of it is to share it with the world. So, yeah, when that looms all of a sudden, it becomes nerve-wracking. I think because we've put a few singles out from this record, it almost feels like the time has come to get it out. And there's been plenty of build up and warm up for us. So it's not like we're going in cold or anything. And yeah, we've been playing shows as well. So we've been testing the songs. No one seems to hate them. So yeah, and it's been long enough. So we're more excited than anything, I would say.
100%. Is that the same for yourself, Jordan?
Yeah, I think I get more nervous about singles, or at least I did about the first couple of the singles we put out, just because that you just forget that they're going to be judged by people and that other people are going to own them instead of just them being on my Dropbox link. And so, yeah, the night before Long Distance Runner came out was not nerve-wracking, but it was kind of exciting. And, I mean, there's nothing we can do about it now. The album's finished, so it's going to happen the way it's going to happen, and we can just hopefully enjoy it. I think I'm mostly nervous about it just being finished and us being on to album number 3 without much having happened. So I'm excited to see what goes on.
I'm fully aware that there's quite a lot of fans also excited to kind of check out this record and have it in their hands. We were very lucky enough to have a listen to the record before it is coming out. And I have to say it gave me an absolutely pleasant surprise in terms of that it's still very much a Winterbourne record, but putting on some good headphones to kind of listen to this, it's immediately from the get-go, from that first track, it's almost just kind of like it sonically bursts into a kaleidoscope and like a kind of like a weird dream sonically. This is a gorgeous, gorgeous record. I think you guys produced this record yourself this time around, correct?
Yeah.
What was that experience like in terms of being able to choose and direct the record in your own way?
It was good. We've kind of got there incrementally over time. So it's not like we've had producers all this time and then thought we'd just call it and give it a good go ourselves. We've kind of been learning from producers and friends of ours over the years and kind of become more and more involved in the process as we went. And this, I guess, was just the first time where we had enough skill and also belief in ourselves to get the songs from demo to putting out into the world. And there was also an aspect of it where we've always been very keen on the demo making process and putting lots of effort into that. And we always find that there is, though you can really bring a song to life in the studio in one sense, you can always often lose some of whatever the original essence was in the demo. We've always tried to keep that, but inevitably if you retrack something completely, then you're making a new recording. So we thought this time, with the added influence of the fact that we're probably going to be separate a bit more from people because of COVID, we thought let's try and make a record. Let's make the rule that we're going to be in control all the way and see if we can do a good job. And that was it's actually inspiring, I guess, and made us write a little bit differently. It's just we've kind of become like that with all the things we do, where we're quite controlling, and it makes the end of the process feel, I don't know if it makes it more nerve-wracking, but it makes it more like you're offering a piece of yourself, because we've really just gone, this is us making a thing and now we're offering it to the world. So yeah, I guess it's a little more vulnerable.
100%. I feel like there's an added level of investment almost.
Yeah, pretty much. Like our lives. All the skills we've there's no excuses. It's like, this is it, this is all we can do. I mean, to be fair, we did the artwork as well, so we've got that. But it was awesome. It was honestly like a dream. It's experience. Like, we met in high school and we were making songs on a program called Music Master before we even wrote song. So it's always been what we love doing, and we've always loved the fact that we have an excuse to make stuff and people will actually listen to it.
100%. I was going to get to this maybe a little bit later, but because the opportunity has arisen, I would love to know how you guys, how you got together, and I guess how those first, I want to say sessions of writing music or trying to, I guess, work out what you wanted to do together musically, how they kind of went and how you landed on what is now Winterbourne.
Yeah, well, we met in high school in year eight, and we were both just getting started with guitar. We both wanted to be in the same band that didn't exist, that was belonged to one of our friends, which never ended up being a band. And essentially I think we just defected from that band and made our own shortly after that. But we just kind of liked the same music, and it was all very guitar-based, like AC/DC and Green Day and this kind of stuff that you learn when you're starting music, or you did when it was 2007. And then from there, we did music class together and sort of started to shape what we liked and realize why we liked it. Our music teacher showed us Simon and Garfunkel, and that to us made a lot of sense. And there was two of us, and we were just starting to sing, and that opened up that whole folk world to us. And obviously, around the same time, the whole folk thing became huge around the end of our time in high school. So, I don't know why we started writing. But we wrote a song called Soldier Song, which was our first ever endeavor into the world of songwriting, and it was.
I don't know if that's ever been mentioned. First time we've gone to the press with that.
It's still somewhere. We can put it out. It was based on a alarm clock in James's bedroom, and we stole a riff from that and made it into a song, and we recorded it on James's computer, and it was really fun. I remember it being it was a huge deal. I wanted to show people that we'd recorded actual guitars and vocals, and we had a drum track that went all the way through it. And then obviously doing music class, they kind of started introducing that composition stuff to us, and we used Music Master and just kind of got the taste for putting stuff down and tracking things and also playing live together when we started learning harmonies and how to sing properly. And James started actually singing. We figured out that we sounded pretty good together. And so, we had that live aspect where we could go off and do the busking and make money and get in front of people. And we did stuff at school and we could also record. So it kind of all came from that time in high school. And then once we left, it was we had a crack at uni, and
didn't I don't know like if we it. Gave it a crack.
We went. We signed up to uni.
We were there.
we were enrolled.
Occasionally present.
Yeah, and kind of just used it as an excuse to get to Sydney, and then we'd decide if we wanted to go to uni or not. And usually we would decide not to, and that's when we started busking and doing things that we saw to be a little bit more. Better uses of our time, and we were right up to this point, turns out. not that I know where we'd be if we'd got our arts media degree,
that's right.
I like to think we
on the
would
other
be...
side of this interview, no doubt.
That's right.
Well, look, I'm glad to hear that whatever decisions that you have made has led us to us being able to chat to you, but also to this record. It is, as I've mentioned, it's sonically stunning, guys. I'm very curious what you kind of mentioned before, James, in terms of the, I guess, having a producer hat on influenced the songwriting aspect of the record. Are you able to just to elaborate on that a little bit? Because I'm curious how it would have changed, I guess, what the structure of the song was, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think it was unique for this record because we kind of had this idea of this world that these songs would live in, and I think that was part of why we ended up producing it ourselves, because it just took so much time and effort and vision on our part, but because we kind of had that vision of what this album was going to look like even and what it was going to sound like, which actually came from one of the demos, we just found ourselves following that a little bit. And we didn't really write into that, but songs that started coming out kind of seemed to be in the same world, and we knew how to bring them. We knew how to bring them to life. I guess we knew they seemed to fall into place a lot easier than previously, where it's just been a case of let's write as many songs as we can. It never felt like we needed many more songs, and we were always confident that they were going to come out. So, I mean, this record has been a process over probably since we were making the first one, so it's like four years almost. And along that way, we didn't really know what we didn't know whether or not we had the songs, enough good ones anyway, until all of a sudden we did. And along that way, we'd been producing it without really even knowing, because we were putting all the same sounds in certain songs and making the same decisions and putting themes in the songs that we didn't even realize we were putting in. And we kind of just got to a point where we had 12 of those that we loved and made sense together, and like 30 others, but...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily if... it did as well, because we went to this cottage and we set up as a band with our friends and recorded some demos. And we were thinking at the time, is this a song we don't have already? And what are the drums going to do? Like, the fact that the drums were doing a certain thing made us write a certain way. And yeah, all the decisions along the way were... It was never that thing of let's demo a song and then who knows what it's going to sound like in the end. It was always, if we're making this, then it's going to sound like this. It's going to sound like as it emerged on the day, at least to some degree. And we tried to, that's pretty much ended up being true for the whole record. So that's nice.
I kind of loved that. I was curious to the balance of the record. There's quite a number of stunning like acoustic tracks, like Glass of Lemonade is one of them that I absolutely loved on there, but then it sits perfectly next to like Do Nothing, which is like more upbeat and there's more instrumentation to that. The record seems to share this beautiful balance of like organic instruments with some like synths. And I think, what was it? Was it a Farisa? Farisa synthesizer or keyboard?
Oh, Farfisa. I think. I don't even know if that's how you say it. I've never heard anyone else say it. So. It could be Farisa.
I'm going to go with your pronunciation on this one. Yeah. I guess with the balance of more acoustic tracks compared to your more upbeat or like maybe synthesized or even like rockier tracks, was there ever a thought of the balance, I guess, going in like we've got too many folky songs or we've got too many of these, or is it just, as you've kind of said, what it comes out on the day, that song is what it is?
Yeah, it's a thank you, first of all. That's a good assessment of the sound. And I feel like it was a combination. I think we instinctively try and shape an album a certain way, and we kind of know the feel that we're going for. Every time we write a song, we know if it's going to fit and how it's going to fit. Mostly it was just seeing where the songs took us. There was definitely a point towards the end where we didn't have enough, or where a lot of the songs were very upbeat and happy. And so we, like, Walks Along the Avenue is a song that we did in that cottage. And it was a particularly dark song that ended up feeling quite sad and, filled that melancholic hole that we didn't know we had in the record, and it incorporated the characters that we had been talking about during the record. So that was a late decision to say, well, this one really seems to fit on the album more than we thought it did. And then when we put it into End Side A, so track 6, it kind of became a pivotal song on the record. So there was an element of choosing things that we'd done that were going to fit and making the album feel more whole. But also I think mostly this album is just our favorite 12 songs that we've done. And because we did them all in that frame of mind of putting them in that world, and we tried to connect them as we were going, there wasn't really a big process at the end of having to link everything together and make it fit. It was kind of already done for us. But yeah, and Glass of Lemonade was a similar one that was laid on in the process, and that immediately to both of us. James just wrote that and sent it to me, and it was like, okay, well, that's got to go on because there's no other song like that on the record, and it's every album needs that song. And especially this one, because that's such a refreshing moment in the record, listening to it all the way through at track 4. It's just such a nice place to go. So yeah, it was kind of a combination of all those things.
100%. It is The Glass of Lemonade is a stunning track. For anyone listening to this record, links for the album will be in the show notes, so please go and listen to the record and then listen to these songs that we're talking about. One I was hoping I might be a little bit selfish to ask about, it was my favourite track on the record, and I think is maybe what I would say is, like, in my mind, and please let me know your opinion on this and if I'm very off target. Well. Yeah, good, thank you. Hold me accountable. Was A Very Excellent Day. I thought that was a perfect distillation of what the record is trying to do in terms of blending those organic and synthesized instruments. Very joyous, very upbeat. Loved the vocals on that song. I was wondering whether you might just be able to share, I guess, part of the creation or the behind the scenes of where A Very Excellent Day came from.
Nice. Well, thanks. I'm glad you liked that one. I don't think that's been anyone's favorite yet, and I thought it was going to be like everyone's favorite. I'm glad you like it. That was one that had been around in a demo stage for a while, and we just had those do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- We knew that those doos were strong, and we wanted to put them in a song, but we just kind of couldn't find a verse and a chorus that would be as good as the doos. So that was the main challenge. And we realized at some point that every section of the song doesn't have to be the best section in the world. It can just be, let the song do what it wants to do, and then those doos will, for people listening, this just sounds like I'm an insane person. But
I hope there's like a transcribed version of this that you can just read along with.
James has a serious stutter.
But
I always had this image, image. Can you have a sonic image of like a 70s-esque, just that feeling of those acoustics that are just like so full of life, and the really wanted those two complementary acoustic parts. We're always fans of playing a guitar either side, and two vocals, and so it was a perfect moment to have just one of those intros where it's like riff happens, band comes in and supports it, and it just makes you go yes, and you're like on a road trip or whatever. But then naturally we just tried our best to ruin it with a confusing and meta lyric that means 80 different things at once. But that kind of adds to it, and I love the fact that we get to sing all in all and all on and on and all in all, I'd say a very excellent day as a hook. And I like that it's at that point just unashamedly positive, but I guess almost in a delirious way.
But I think that's maybe part of its appeal. That's maybe part of why it caught on. It was unabashedly, as you said, unashamedly positive, and kind of just you can't listen to that track and not kind of walk away feeling good. And if you do, well, then that's a much bigger issue that's outside of the band and the scope of the record.
We try our best.
With these new songs, I know you said that you've been playing some of them on that most recent tour. Is there one off the record that maybe didn't get a live debut that you're looking forward to taking to the audiences?
I've got one.
Yep.
Bird on the Breeze.
Oh, here we go.
Bird on the Breeze. I fought tooth and nail to have that song on the tour. And I wanted it to be track one at every show, and then that was shut down, and then it was going to be just in there somewhere else, and then someone decided it was too hard or something. I don't actually know what your reason was. I tuned out. And James thinks that I only like it because it's the first time I've had a lead vocal part, and that is part of it. But I also think it's a really it's a great song. It gets really epic, and I picture that at a. I picture that on Glastonbury main stage at sunset, so I guess that's unfair of me. But I picture it as being a great live track. And it's track 11, which history has shown that's my favourite track on any record we've done so far out of the two. And the most epic live track. I think it's a good moment on a record, so it's a good moment on the stage. So, yeah, I'm keen. Hopefully we find a good spot for that on the album tour.
I'm looking forward to that, James. What about yourself?
Probably A Very Excellent Day, actually. We haven't played that. And, yeah, I think it'll be a favourite live. And, I'm keen to play it. It's a good one, even as just the two of us. We can kind of pull it off. So on this upcoming tour, we'll be the full band and we'll get all the parts to be played. And, yeah, it'll be full of life, hopefully. And hopefully everyone will have a great react and be a positive experience for all.
I can't imagine anything different from, as we've discussed, the positivity of that track, but I'm looking forward to seeing them both in their live debut form. As we discussed earlier, we are a little pulling the curtain behind the scenes, whatever. We are a few weeks out from the album coming out when this episode airs. There's nothing announced at the moment, but once the album is out, can we expect a full album tour to be announced?
Yeah, has that not been announced yet? Okay. Then yes.
Well, it's hard to say, isn't it? I think it has.
I'm sure we've mentioned it. Or about to mention. I don't know where I am timeline.
We will be touring the album in March 2024. Certainly.
Actually, I think there was maybe a public tease and that we're getting those dates. We should have them by the time that people are actually listening to this audio, and we'll make sure that the tour dates are in the show notes for people to go ahead and buy those tickets and come see you in a live capacity.
Amazing.
Great. That'd be great.
Of course.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, we would usually ask our guests what they're currently listening to at the moment, if there is anything on high rotation. For yourselves, Jordan, I'll let you go first. Is there anything that's on high rotation for you at the moment?
Let me just crack open my Spotify search section.
Do you want me to go? Because I've got one.
Do you? Yeah, if you've got one, go.
Yeah. I've been absolutely smashing a song called Speech Bubble by Flight, which I think is absolutely lovely. I honestly must have listened to that like 25 times in the last week or so. And a song called Black Friday by Tom O'Dell.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely Flight. Beautiful. Yeah. So, yeah. Just
Flight
just
spelled as per, like F-L-I-G-H-T?
No, F-L-Y-T-E.
Okay. All right. Yes.
Glad you asked. That's a huge distinction to make.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really cool. They're like London based.
Is that song Speech Bubble the one we did in the car? That's not the Laura Marling one? The other one? The other new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. I'm going to go ahead and reveal that I've been listening to big band classics. starting with In the Mood by Glenn Miller and then working my way through the big band classics Spotify playlist. Sort of those classic 40s and 50s vibes. That's all I've been doing. Maybe I'm late to the table on the being a fan of 40s music, but
Almost a century late, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's coming back around. I think it's going to be cool again. Yeah. It's one of those.
Yeah, we only listen to songs that came out like last week or stuff from nearly 100 years ago. That's it.
Is this possibly Winterbourne? I know we're talking about Winterbourne Record 2 and promoting that. Is this possibly a sneak peek into Record 3, Winterbourne into the big band era?
Yeah, it's a combination of a very accessible English folk and big band. I've said too much. You got it out of me.
Look, any insight and any behind the scenes that we can get, we will take. So that one, the big band Winterbourne era, I'm looking forward to. But until then, we are very much enjoying Active Disappearing, which is the second record from Winterbourne. James and Jordan, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast and having a chat with us today. I do appreciate it.
No worries.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.